On this episode of DC On Screen, we say goodbye to a legend, say hello to DC Fandom 2021, and prepare for Armageddon. All that and so much more after these mysterious, uncontrolled words from these possibly salacious sponsors. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 644 on this podcast. We share our honest opinions about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man who once tried to show off on a first date by engaging in a high-speed chase with police, Jason Goss.
Guess how that ended?
Poorly?
I had handcuffs on.
Sure.
Naturally. Not by the cops.
Ooh. Well.
Hey, man, you roll the dice enough, eventually it comes up on your side.
All things coming up, Jason.
I did ruin a Vespa.
All right. Before we get into the news, I would like to remind you that you can go to dconscreen.com to find links to our Patreon, where $1 a month gets you all of the episodes ad-free, but $5 a month gets you access to exclusive content. And there's also a donate button and a link to our merch store on dconscreen.com if you would like to support us in other ways. Speaking of the merch store, our Labor Day sale starts this week, September 2nd through the 6th. We will be running a 35% off sale. We're talking about t-shirts, stickers, tapestries, phone cases, what have you, a bunch of stuff, wall art. That is dconscreen.com. And click the store tab or go to tpublic.com/stores/dconscreen. That's the announcements. We're to the news. That was weirdly painless, right?
That was painless. I love it. Let's go ahead and dig in.
All right, so we're going to just go ahead and get the bad news out of the way. Ed Asner, friggin' legend.
Knew that was going to be the bad news.
I know. Ed Asner has passed away. He was 91 years old. We all know him from, he was Lou Grant on Mary Tyler Moore Show, man. And, of course, the show Lou Grant.
Lou, yeah.
And
what's a trend breaking fucking show. Like, that was incredible.
Absolutely. And that dude had been in, he'd been in shows, man, all at least back to the '60s.
Yeah.
So
he was one of those guys that could character act the fuck out of something, but you could give him a whole thing to carry and it would be fine. Just fucking
absolutely
fine. Knock it out of the park. No problems.
Wonderful, wonderful actor. He's really well known, as a voice actor as well. He voiced, Carl Fredrickson in, Pixar's Up, and, he was Santa in 2003's Elf. And, I personally love his run on Studio 60, in the Sunset Strip.
That's deep to my heart. I literally use that phrase about and I learned it from him. I'm sure it's an old phrase, but, I learned it from him on that show about if you want someone to do the cooking, you gotta let them buy the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
This is a management style that I've actually grown very fond of.
That's awesome. I love him. And have you seen Dead to Me on Netflix with Linda Cardellini and Christina Applegate? That show is fantastic. He was wonderful in that.
I have not.
He's great in Cobra Kai.
Oh, I didn't know he was in there. God damn it. Every day, another reason I need to watch that show.
Oh, he's a son of a bitch in Cobra Kai, too. He's a...
No, that was part of the joy. He could be your fucking uncle that you would, never recover from his death, like so many people I'm sure have. And then he could be just this son of a bitch that, I don't know, man, he's just such a fucking flexible actor.
Yeah.
God, he was good.
And as far as DC's concerned, the reason we're bringing him up here,
Granny
Goodness. He was Roland Daggett in 5 episodes of Batman the Animated Series. He played Granny Goodness in 4 episodes of Superman the Animated Series, and then
previously Granny Goodness, my favorite Granny Goodness.
Yeah, and then Granny Goodness in an episode of Justice League Unlimited. He also played Hephaestus in Justice League Unlimited. He was Granny Goodness in Superman Batman Apocalypse. He was Perry White in All-Star Superman. He played Kent Nelson in Young Justice. He was a hospital patient in an episode of Doom Patrol. Dude's got his fingerprints on DC.
Yeah, all over the place.
And not only DC, but he's got him on Marvel, too. He was J. Jonah Jameson in one of my favorites, the Spider-Man animated series from the 90s.
Yeah.
Fox Kids, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When I read J. Jonah Jameson in the comic page, I don't I don't hear J.K. Simmons. I hear friggin' Ed Asner. Like, how do you not?
It's one of the very few moments where I'm like, I don't know. I do kind of hear J.K. Simmons. But
blasphemy.
I know, no, but JK's the guy played 100 iconic roles. Occasionally, someone was going to come and do something slightly more memorable. That's also just my particular, you know, snapshot of life.
See, unfortunately, like when I see like the when I go back and look at J.K. Simmons stuff from Spider-Man as or with him as anything almost now, mm-hmm. every time he finishes a line, I just hear "We are farmers." Bop 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 bop.
What's that? Or you want to buy M&Ms?
And now I find that I'm like, I accidentally just for a split second slipped into this weird state where I was sad that J.K. Simmons was dead. I'm like, no, it's Ed Asner, Dave.
No.
No. Yeah.
One of your boys is still going.
Really sad. Very sad to see Ed Asner go. 91, though. He had a good run.
No, I mean.
People say that, but I guess it's, you know, I'm sure he would disagree if he was still able to. He'd be like.
I wonder, though, at that age, like, I don't think I would disagree in particular. If I got to 92 and I was still roughly kicking and doing stuff a year before, I think I'd call it a good day. But. It's also the reason that, you know, we're not sitting here weeping, giving the news or anything, and I'm sure everyone's heard it anyway, but just a guy who brought a lot of fucking joy to my life, and I'm just happy to celebrate that, and I feel like he just had a good run, like you say.
And look, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. Like I said, he is a fantastic voice actor. He was interviewed for a documentary called I Know That Voice, several years ago that, mm-hmm. John DiMaggio did, mm-hmm. John DiMaggio, voice of Bender, dude from Adventure Time. He's been a ton of stuff himself. And the way Ed Asner introduces himself, we did watch that. Yeah. And then I watched it subsequently with my sister and then again with my wife. Ah. My favorite bit was from Ed Asner, and the way he introduced himself, he goes, "Hi, I'm Ed Asner." And he flips open a switchblade. It's like just so random, but then in hindsight so wonderfully Ed Asner.
Yeah,
so gonna miss the hell out of that guy showing up and stuff. Like I just love watching something and then oh, there's Ed.
Yeah,
look at him just being a bastard.
He's in so much, he'll still be showing up.
And that's the fun thing. Like in Cobra Kai, like I said, total son of a bitch. In Dead to Me, total sweetheart of a guy. Like the only person in this girl's corner. Like he's just so good. He had the range, man.
Oh, he had. Yeah, he had range for years.
Anyway, we're going to move on to DC Fandom. Mm-hmm. Which, look, I know there's a bunch of stuff going on. There's a bunch of stuff out there in the world. First of all, they released a poster. And I have been hearing nothing but shit on Twitter about this poster. Like, it's so cluttered. It's so blah, 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 blah. Why'd they have to put friggin' Superman and Lois, Superman on there instead of Henry Cavill? Well, Henry Cavill's not slated to be in anything, so shut the hell up. Like, mm-hmm. There's no reason to put Cavill on there. Superman Lois is actively going. Why'd they put Supergirl on there? She's ending. Because they're going to do a tribute to Supergirl. Like,
it's not a mystery. The important thing to remember with any of the hype for Fandom right this second. And look, man, I'm not like just jumping out of my seat ready for it right this second. The thing to remember, though, is it's not about everything you could possibly have.
Yeah.
It's about what's actually on the docket and they're planning for and trying to pimp right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the entire concentration of this event. It's a press junket that we actually are, like, getting to go to in a certain way.
And, you know, now I've seen a lot of people complain. Like, pretty much everyone's losing their minds over this trailer. And I'm not the trailer, the poster. And I'm like, you guys, it's a freaking poster.
I mean, I personally went through every character there and just, yeah, some things are more or less exciting, but there shouldn't be anything here that's inexplicable.
But, you know, by and large, it's an ugly poster. It's an ugly poster. It's so cluttered. It looks like amateur hour. It just depends. It depends on what your aesthetic is. Like, They're going for energetic. They're going for excited. They're going for like trying to make everyone understand that there's something there for them.
It's also very rote and formulaic for like one shots like that.
It is.
It's exploding from the middle like a fucking flower blooming and stuff. Like it's, how many of these have you really seen in your life if you think about it?
Right. And would I put it on my wall? No.
No, it's not up there. I mean, I have the three shot thing from Jim Lee last year, but that's also Jim Lee drawn.
Mm-hmm. Now look, I was curious. I myself am a graphic designer. I've gotten paid for graphic design. Mm-hmm. My sister is a graphic designer.
As well she should.
She's currently illustrating a children's book. Mm-hmm. Me, I was like, meh, it's all right. It's fine. It's just a poster. Sent it to her. She said, it looks cluttered, but it's a poster. I know her design sensibilities. She doesn't like cluttered. I get it. My brother-in-law, graphic designer.
As well he should. I've seen all their work. They're good.
He looked at it. He said, yeah, it's a bit much, but they're trying to get across a certain, like, that all this stuff is going to be, you know. So, like, even, like.
But that's the thing. It's supposed to be explosive, exciting. Like, it literally looks like an explosion coming out of the page. Like, I don't know how to English major this for anyone any better than it already is. Metaphorically is a bunch of diverging interest all coming together in some kind of universal thing and all exploding from the same center point. Like, what else do you want, man? And some things come and some things go. And
It is a multiverse.
Yeah. There's no Cavill or Affleck on the thing, but there is Supergirl outgoing, as you say. And then there's Pattinson right there, like just chilling in the middle, ready to go.
Right. It's like Pattinson and freaking Zoe's Catwoman on either side of freaking Black Adam, which, by the way, we have never seen a front view of before until this poster. And he looks badass. Why is no one talking about Black Adam, the Black Adam reveal?
I agree. I think people are waiting for the like Boss Logic shot.
Yeah.
But I also feel like you kind of got that like before they even shot the movie.
And Restore the Snyderverse was like trending again, like, and everyone's like all the Snyder people were celebrating that, like, it was beating out the Fandom news and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but you guys are doing this to spite Fandom. Like, that's the toxic version, guys.
It's one of those things where it's coming from a good place in certain ways and not others. Like,
yes, I want to return the Snyderverse. I'd like to see the rest of Zack's thing, but I mean, not like this. Don't do
but
this.
Not at
the expense of everything else DC is doing.
Yes. And all the creators who are working very hard to do something they love. Like, exactly. It's supposed to be, you know, in addition to, it's not a sacrifice for. And that's something that a lot of some of that movement is. I mean, granted, there's a lot of this that I would, you know, put on a shield and fight for. But there's that portion of it where it's like, how dare they make this because they should be making this instead. First of all, I can't explain the term zero-sum game more than I have on the show already.
That's right.
It's not that. Go look it up if you don't understand what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as simple as one thing is not the other thing and, you know, you lose that thing because of it. It's just not that simple. But if that's still confusing.
Fair, a lot of these people are our age and growing up. It was
kind of when budgets worked a little differently, but it's not that way. And it hasn't been that way for a very long time. And especially not in this new climate where streaming is so accessible to creators. So you can't just say like, oh my God, I can't believe we got this one thing. Where's my other thing that I wanted? Well, the other thing you wanted is possibly in your hands too. But I don't know, man, you can't just go after all of the creators for all of the stuff that's happening right now and say, oh my God, I cannot believe we don't have Snyder. Look, man, there are no previous plans. And if you're hashtagging Restore the Snyderverse, and God bless you, I hope so too, but you can't possibly be hashtagging it and not be aware of like the Ann Sarnoff interview and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or everything Snyder said for months after that, where he explained over and over again that I still don't fucking know what the hell that movie did. No one told me.
Yeah.
Like, he has gotten zero phone calls. Or
Chuck Roven doesn't know.
Yeah. Like, you can't know all of that and still think that Snyderverse is going to be part of DC fandom. That's a logical gap I can't make sense of. Please let me know if I'm missing something, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So actually getting into the what has been announced for fandom 2021,
mm-hmm.
As far as movies, but first of all, let me just say it is scheduled to happen on Saturday, October 16th, beginning at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Central time. As far as movies, we've got an exclusive new trailer for The Batman, new content for DC League of Super Pets, which The Rock is playing Crypto. I don't know how you're not excited about that, even if you're an adult.
I for sure am. Yes.
We've got a, I know you, you've got a, yeah.
I mean, that's my entire childhood come together. I don't know what to tell you. My heart swells.
You literally got your dog a collar with a Superman emblem on it because she looked like Crypto.
Oh, I didn't even do that. I specialized the collar, bought several parts from several different dealers, and customized it.
Mm-hmm.
And she rocked that thing for a few years.
She did. So we've got a first look at Black Adam coming, a sneak peek of The Flash, a behind-the-scenes look at Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, and it looks like a behind-the-scenes, much like they did with the Suicide Squad, I would imagine, for Shazam! Yeah. Fury of the Gods, which, by the way, just finished wrapping.
So are you voting for Sizzle Reel? Because that's what I'm voting for.
I think it's going to be, it's going to be like a behind-the-scenes slash, you know, interviews with people talking about like why this director is the only person that should be doing it and what's so crazy about it and what's so good about, you know, bullshit like that.
Yeah. Which I would love for them to cut over to director here and it's just him like eating fries and not even giving a shit, like not even aware he's on camera.
Right.
That'd be pretty on brand.
As far as a behind the scene look from David Sandberg on Shazam, I imagine it will look quite different than the one for Aquaman,
mm-hmm.
just because David Sandberg is a funny asshole and he might actually just have footage of him sitting and eating something and not caring.
Yeah. He is a troll in the best sense of the word.
He really is.
I love that man's Twitter additions. They make my life better.
And if you can muster the energy to get onto Instagram, he's great on there too. Like
I can't, but I believe.
Just follow David Sandberg and artists.
I'm sure there's some way I could like cultivate that. I don't care to.
Yeah, that's fair. Over on television, we'll have an exclusive look at HBO Max's Peacemaker. DMZ, Aquaman King of Atlantis, that's the three-part miniseries that James Wan produced that everyone's shitting on. I think it looks fine. It's not my preferred animation style, but you know, I'm curious. And of course, we're going to get an exclusive look. Like
40 animation styles. Like, yeah, they're going to be some hits and misses.
No. And we're going to get an exclusive look at Batman Caped Crusader.
Mm-hmm.
There will be surprises from the new series, as well as new looks at returning HBO Max favorites Doom Patrol, Titans, Harley Quinn, and Young Justice Phantoms. New looks at seasons of CW's Batwoman, The Flash, Superman and Lois, Netflix's Sweet Tooth, which we don't really cover here on the show, but hell, it's here on the listing, so why not? A farewell tribute to Supergirl, a 100th episode celebration for Legends of Tomorrow, a first look at Naomi, and a sneak peek at Stargirl. For video games, they'll have new reveals from Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. And for, of course, comics, panels for Batman Fear State, Black Manta, Wonder Woman Historia, Nubia and the Amazons, The Wonderful Women of the World. And there's going to be an update on the return of the Milestone Universe. So there's a lot of stuff they're packing into this.
In the actual comics, that's kind of already come back.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's already started.
And they're going to do simultaneously DC Kids Fandom, which will have specific kid-friendly content, including stuff for Bat Wheels, which, again, I'm kind of excited about. Teen Titans Go and DC Superhero Girls. Do you know about Bat Wheels? Have we talked about that? I thought we talked about that on the show. Where it's like the Bat computer turns all the Bat vehicles sentient.
Yeah, it's Bat Transformers.
Yeah.
Not hating on the idea. It sounds delightful in a certain way, but.
Yeah, I'll probably buy the toys because I'm a fool. And for the first time, we'll be able to watch it on the Fandome site or watch it on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So, like, you can pretty much just watch it anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can register for free at DCFandome.com to get news directly sent to you. And you'll also gain access to members-only exclusives. So you can already check out the DC Fandome shop. They're releasing exclusive DC merchandise leading up to the event. I mean, it's a no-brainer, man. And look, DC Universe Infinite is also going to be, in conjunction with the event, releasing more than 300 comics and graphic novels to read for free with registration.
Nice.
We're talking about Flashpoint, the first volume of Injustice Gods Among Us. I mean, the first volume of The Sandman. So, like, a whole bunch of DC goodness is coming up. A lot of stuff you should be excited for instead of pissing on a poster. And look, I know that there are other, like, separate things.
Yeah, like, relatively. Like, it's what is that? Like, 200 megabytes at full resolution?
Mm-hmm.
That poster?
Something like that, yeah.
Versus how much actual data is coming to you? Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck over the post. It's the first impression. We know what they say about these things.
Now, look, I've seen some stuff online floating around. This, like, a breakdown of some of the panels. Someone said that one of the panels was there are going to be three secret movie panels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those are. I assume Batgirl and Blue Beetle will be part of that. That's what a lot of the rumor mills are churning out.
Now, there was some kerfuffle last year, though, because there was one secret project panel kind of got removed.
Yeah, that's why they're not announcing it.
Because these things aren't in stone.
These things are not in stone.
No, so but that's the thing. Like, the secret movie slot doesn't mean Man of Steel 2.
That's what everybody thinks. Like, it's the Henry Cavill movie. No, most likely it's Batgirl and Blue Beetle.
And
they might have something from the Val Zod movie.
Maybe. And look, I'm down with either. But, I mean, honestly, if there was something I might be able to suit up for and just head down somewhere with a sword and some grenades, it might be a Man of Steel 2 movie or even a Val Zod. But
yeah,
I'm not going to, like, pin my hopes and dreams on that secret slot.
Right. So, yeah.
Maybe before, but after the last year? Come on. Learn from these moments.
I personally have not seen any of the panel breakdowns officially released anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to go, no, we'll just not bank on that, if that's fair.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
All right. Let's move on to the Suicide Squad. There's some fun stuff that's happening here, and someone was talking about I don't know who was talking about it, honestly. I don't even know what they said. I don't remember.
It was in the air.
I didn't put that down, but James Gunn did say it is important to note, if you look at the life signals in the comms hub, TDK is not dead.
I saw some of this. It was during the live stream from like Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Where the whole cast and crew was, or, you know, cast and relevant crew, I guess, was watching and tweeting along. It was a live tweet thing or whatever.
Yeah. And Nathan Fillion said, I noticed that very loudly when I was in the theater. Apologies again for the disturbance.
And I love him very much. It's one of the things that gave me just a lot of joy earlier to see that, like, James Gunn hadn't actually officially killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that specifically is because, as we harped on in the review, when he killed someone, he killed the fuck out of that person.
Yeah.
Like, you never saw a shard of toilet go through Rick Flagg's heart in X-ray vision. With some different angles, just to make sure you understand what's happening right now.
Yep.
And then later, Weasel just pops off and fucks off to be Chupacabra, as I say. So, like, him just being around. And he was one of the ones I wondered about, too, because, like, he didn't get shot up. His arms did. So I think he may come back as like not being able to actually detach.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's just his legs or something.
Interesting. I hope we see him again. Now,
his arms are rebuilt. Oh, what if he came back with mechanical arms? Detachable mechanical arms.
That'd be dope.
For TDK.
That'd be dope.
James, make it happen. I'm into it.
Now, there was a story from Geek Vibes Nation. If you, feel appropriate to do so, like if you're not all tied up, I'm going to need you to go ahead and take out your phone, open up the Notes app, and write down Geek Vibes Nation along with Giant Freaking Robot. We got this covered. And a number of other sites that you can't, Cosmic Book News, that mm-hmm. you can't friggin' trust because they're just rumor mills. They posted a story about there being a Bloodsport spinoff. James Gunn actively said, he quote tweeted it and said, there is a possibility of seeing more Bloodsport in the near future, something I would love to see, but there is nothing currently in development.
Yeah.
This story is false. And Geek Vibes Nation quickly deleted the tweet. So look, y'all, stop perpetuating these bullshit sites. Like, if you're in this fandom and you keep up with the news, please, please, Geek Vibes Nation, we got this covered. Giant Freaking Robot, Cosmic Book News. Just ignore them. Put them in a note app and just go back. Wait, before I get angry about this story, let me check my trusty Notes app. Oh, it's bullshit.
Or just block them and not worry about them.
Or just block them. Yeah, that's also true. You could do that.
I'm open to suggestions, but I would add discussing film to that list.
Now, I do think, it's great to say, hey, James said the story is false, but he did say there's a possibility of seeing Bloodsport in the near future. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did mention that Shazam has wrapped, so I will end our news segment with this wonderful little, it's not even news, it's just a fantastic story. Do you remember how McGee was going to direct a version of Superman called Superman Flyby? It was going to be written by J.J. Abrams, or it was written by J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm. I recall, and I remember it being about half... Okay, let's see what happens in about half. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. He was actually talking with Bilson and Clark about his mental health and decided to tell the story of how he got fired from the Superman movie and why we got a Bryan Singer Superman Returns instead of Flyby. He says, so I'm going to make the Superman movie and I'm getting ready to go. And they're like, we're going to Australia. We're going to Australia. I literally remember telling the bosses at WB at the time, I cannot go to Australia. I am afraid of flying. I cannot do it.
Oh, I did not have to hear you tell me the rest of that sentence. That was the first thing that occurred to me.
He says, it like, didn't oh even
God,
register. Oh
my God, all of my hopes and dreams on this earth are going to come true? Oh, but I have to take a 20-hour flight. Oh no.
He says,
I don't think I can pull that off.
He says it didn't even register. They're like, you're McGee. You'll be fine. You're the boisterous, happy guy. You're bouncing off the walls. You'll be fine. Anyway, mm-hmm. The plane's on the tarmac. The Warner's private jet meant to take me to Australia, and I can't get on. I get fired off of Superman. Rightfully so. They've got to make the movie in Australia. They put Bryan Singer on the movie.
Yep.
I feel that, man.
I feel that, look, in a very real way.
If I can make a Superman movie... I'd probably turn it down, honestly, because I'm like, I'm not at all qualified to do that.
Oh, no, I would not be qualified, but I would die trying. I mean,
I'd probably just dope up and get on a plane. I would have to dope up.
I would go to a psychiatrist the night before and say, hey, how much Xanax can you actually give me in a time frame?
Yeah.
And then see if I could get someone with me to just sort of, you know, that thing where like you put the pill in someone's mouth and you do that throat rub thing.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it down. Mm-hmm. I just asked the psychiatrist, like, how long? So at what point in the flight should someone just like drug me against my will? Because I assume we just can't have needles involved.
Mm-hmm.
I might have a whole plan for just keeping me completely unconscious. But as far as getting to the tarmac and seeing the plane and freaking the fuck out. Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I might do that too.
Yeah. I'm like, look, it's a private jet.
God, I hate flying.
Can I get an anesthesiologist on the plane?
Yeah.
Can you just knock me out and then I'll wake up wherever the hell I'm supposed to be?
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, we're going to call it on the movie section. Woo.
What happened?
I bumped a shelf and a bunch of action figures. Actually, you sounded attacked. I bumped a shelf and King Shark, my McFarlane King Shark figure from Suicide Squad, fell over and knocked a bunch of others over.
Nice.
I really need to put him in the back somewhere because he's a big piece of shit.
Anyway. I mean, fitting. And wasn't it a McFarlane figure that actually cut you the other day?
There was a Beast Kingdom figure that cut me. And that was the armored Batman from Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even actually him. It was his kryptonite spear that cut the shit out of my finger.
Nice.
And then I want to say a McFarlane figure, the Merciless, cut me. Oh, it was either the Merciless or I think it was the Merciless. I don't think it was Devastator, but
both good.
Yeah. Oh, and Steppenwolf cut me from Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Nice.
That was a McFarlane. Anyway.
One of the more fitting would be like if Robin King got you. Like, God, that was one seriously unpredictable motherfucker.
No, he's over there next to the Batman who laughs.
I know. And I feel like one day you're going to grab him and pick him up, and he's just going to puncture your bone. And I'll be like, that sounds right.
Yeah.
It sounds right. How much of your finger did you lose? Half.
Mm-hmm.
You got off lucky.
That's going to do it for our news section. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're hitting up TV. We are returned, and we're going to talk a little bit about TV. Someone asked James Gunn, talking about Peacemaker, by the way. By the way, there's a typo here. I have a typo on my notes. The section in my notes is called Peacemaker. That's a show I think would really up the subscription rates for HBO Max.
I thought it'd be like P-I-E and just a guy who is really good with a set of kitchen knives.
Oh, no. Just Peacemaker, man. The first three episodes are just some old farmer sitting in a rocker on the front porch, shelling peas into a big bowl.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah, that'd be calming TV.
Talking about the great pea moth infestation of 57. Yeah.
Well, you know that meme about like the guy that's like, yeah, you know, what does he say? It's like something, but it's honest work or whatever. Any much, but it's honest work.
Yeah, yeah. And then like near the end of the third episode, it gets into some uncomfortable territory because he starts blaming the Jews.
There's that. There's actually a whole podcast about the immigration efforts and how they affect Alabama's agriculture. But
yeah.
And, long story short, bad.
Right.
Yeah. Draconian immigration and agriculture and produce prices. Not great. Bedmates.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Hell of a thing.
Yep. There's a lot to work out there.
Someone asked James Gunn on Twitter, how many of the Suicide Squad characters will we see in Peacemaker? He says Peacemaker, Amelia Harcourt, John Economos, and, well, heck, maybe one more.
Mm.
Is it Bloodsport? Can it be?
Raise his hand from the back of the glass. Maybe.
Yeah. Also, kind of want to see Weasel.
Wouldn't hurt it. I mean, that honestly, like, it, no matter who, this person was, would you be disappointed?
No.
It was a fucking hell of a cast.
It was.
That could be Sean Gunn as Calendar Man. And I would be deeply into it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm now voting for that.
I don't know. I can't vote. I'm just excited for all of it.
Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities here that make me really happy.
Mm-hmm. Now, over on Superman and Lois, they have added Taylor Buck as a series regular for season two. Taylor Buck played Natalie. Are you caught up?
Not really.
Ooh.
First half?
Mm. Well, people who are caught up will know who that is.
Okay.
And
hey, this is on me. I accept my fate.
As someone who has finished the first season, that is very exciting, but not unexpected.
Fair enough.
And excitingly, we're getting another crossover on the CW. The Flash is going to do a 5-part event, Armageddon. And it's going to have appearances from Javicia Leslie as Batwoman, Brandon Ralph as the Atom, Cress Williams as Black Lightning, Kyler Lee as Sentinel, Kate McNamara as Mia Queen, and Osric Chow as Ryan Cho. And that event will kick off November 16th at 8 p.m. And it will pit the super team against Eobard Thawn and Damian Dark and Despero.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Eobard said, you know, something along the lines of like, when will you see me next?
Tony Curran, the guy that played, do you remember the guy that played Vincent Van Gogh on Doctor Who?
Yes.
He's playing Despero.
Oh, goddamn. That's so fucking good.
Yeah, he's being described as a powerful and intelligent alien possessing incredible powers. That tracks with Despero. Mm-hmm. After leaving his home of Kalinor, he traveled to Earth on a deadly mission, one whose outcome will decide the fate of humankind and put him on a collision course with Team Flash. Now, we don't know exactly how much connection there will be between this and the Armageddon 2001 comic event, but Armageddon 2001 dealt heavily with the character of Wave Rider, not to be confused with the ship. The ship was definitely named after that character, though.
Right.
And the villain Monarch. And there was a lot of time travel. So, I mean, Damian Dark, as far as we know, is dead. You know, Eobard Thawn, time travel up one side and down the other.
Yeah, Mia Queen is kind of be places.
Mia Queen is from the future. I'd love it if they wrapped up her story, the cliffhanger that they had on that backdoor pilot that never went anywhere.
Agreed.
Mr. Spoiler himself, the Flash showrunner Eric Wallace, said in a statement, simply put, these are going to be some of the most emotional Flash episodes ever. Plus, there are some truly epic moments and huge surprises that await our fans, and we're doing them on a scale that's bigger and bolder than our traditional Flash episodes. So yes, Armageddon is a lot more than just another graphic novel storyline. It's going to be a true event for Flash and Arrowverse fans, old and new. Honestly, I can't wait for audiences to see what we've got planned. By the way, I can't help but notice that Ryan Choi is there as is Ray Palmer. Passing of the torch?
Passing, possibly, or just tandem. Given this universe, fuck it.
Yeah, who knows? Kyler Lee from Supergirl said of the event said, "What I will say is I am very, very, very grateful to be part of it. I was asked if I was interested and if I wanted to, you know, take part." I was like, hell yeah. I knew I wasn't.
Like she has not been as included as she could in some events. But by the way, I'm not taking away from the production of that when I say that.
Well, no, but now she's a full blown superhero on Supergirl. So
I know. But same time, like, these last few crossovers, like, man, it takes so much back end to do it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like she necessarily got all the FaceTime that she might have deserved, because she's fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, she was talking to the rap.
Love
she
to see her here.
She said, "I knew I wasn't quite done with Alex or Sentinel. I just had that feeling. Along the way, I was just, I'm just not ready yet." Mm-hmm. That tracks. Melissa Benoist over on Supergirl.
Destroyed. Like, done an incredible job of that character over the years.
Who?
Kyler.
Okay.
I just met with that, like, Alex and Jen. Like, she's just been incredible as an actress over
she's
the years.
She's done a really good job.
Yeah.
Melissa Benoist over on Supergirl confirmed to Entertainment Weekly that McCad Brooks, Jeremy Jordan, and Chris Wood are all returning for the series finale. That's James Olsen, nice. Winshot, and Mon-El. So,
yeah.
I mean, how do you not do that? How do you not? It's the finale.
I agree. I'm into it.
Stargirl, which, by the way, has been phenomenal this season. They have announced that Sportsmaster and Tigress are going to be regulars on season 3. That's actors Neil Hopkins and Joy Osmansky. That's from Deadline. So
yeah, I'm into it. They were engaging characters. They just were
deeply
hateable.
Deeply, deeply hateable.
That's like, a good thing, though, as far as engagement.
But I enjoyed them quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Batwoman, they have cast Bridget Regan as Poison Ivy. That was through Variety. And look, I don't know how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a good actress or actor, if you want to be politically correct, I guess. I don't know. Look, she was in, she was Whitney Frost / Madam Mask in season two of Agent Carter. So I think I hated her character, but I think she did a really good job.
God, that's been so long. I don't remember.
She was like the big bad, and she had like all the black veins coming up her face and stuff. And then it was like breaking apart, and it looked like there was just like, I don't know, like a void behind her face. Like, you know, I think she did a pretty good job, because I think I was supposed to hate her vehemently.
I mean, as long as it's a villain you're supposed to hate and you do, that's fine. But it is definitely one thing to hate the character and one thing to hate the actor. So there's that. It's
one of those things where I hated the character so much. It actually, like, when I saw that it was her, I went, that was playing Poison Ivy. I was like, ugh.
That's
bad. It's not fair.
No, I get it.
But they will be following up on some stuff from season two, definitely. I think you're still behind on that, aren't you?
On which one?
Batwoman.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I'm all of the CW. Way behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this year, have not gotten caught up.
Yeah,
I'm working on it.
It's okay.
There's a plan.
I mean, you know, whatever you got to do. Doom Patrol Season 3. They released a trailer. We've got Michelle Gomez from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Of course, I know her from Doctor Who. I won't say the name.
Of course.
Of who she played. But she's playing Madame Rouge. And it looks like it looks to me like she'll be taking the place of the chief a little bit this season. Man, we got to see Mansu Amala and the Brain in this trailer. We're getting Brotherhood of Evil, Sisterhood of Dada. I am excited, and this looks batshit crazy, as the show always does. I'm really excited. My youngest sister, who is also into DC stuff, she said, I'm starting Doom Patrol. I'm about 30 minutes in. I'm liking it so far. And then like 2 days later, she was like, okay, so I'm on episode like 7 of season 2.
So this, like, took over my life quickly.
Yeah, she's like, this is my favorite thing. Okay. And the trailer had more butts. The trailer had more, like, and when she said that, when she told me that, you know, this is like her favorite thing, I said, all I have to say to that is, General Sir, the butts are loose.
That's a real
understood
thing.
God be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warner Media announced on Tuesday. That was yesterday, by my count, as far as our recording is concerned, that they're going to put out a film called Merry Little Batman. It's a Christmas film, and it will air as part of Cartoon Network's Acme Night block of programming before debuting on HBO Max later on. We don't have that date yet, and we don't have the release date, and we don't have the cast. We don't know who. This thing's completely snuck up on us. But it is an animated family action comedy, and the premise is, a 6-year-old Damian Wayne finds himself alone in Wayne Manor and transforms into Little Batman in order to defend his home and Gotham City from the crooks and supervillains intent on destroying Christmas. And it will be executive produced and directed by regular shows Mike Roth, with a script from Earth to Ned's Morgan Evans. That kind of sounds delightful.
I can't understand how this is a problem for anyone.
I haven't heard any negative press about it, honestly.
I saw a couple tweets and thought, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, no.
Bring some joy into your life.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm into it.
now, as for Acme Night.
It's just It sounds delightful. Like, that's a thing I'm going to watch with the family around Christmas.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone out there still cares about network television or cable television, but this Acme Night programming block for Cartoon Network is going to include several upcoming HBO Max titles, including the animated series Gremlins: Secret of the Mogwai, Aquaman: King of Atlantis, and Unicorn Warriors Eternal, whatever the hell that is. The block is also going to have Batman Caped Crusader animated series. It's going to have a Harry Potter quiz show. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, and it's going to kick off September 19th at 6 p.m. Eastern Pacific with a broadcast of DC's Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
And existing films confirmed to air on the block include Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, Man of Steel, Scoob, Sherlock Gnomes, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're also doing an animated series or an animated movie called A Steve Urkel Story, Did I Do That to the Holidays?
Oh, dear God. Okay.
What the hell? And dear.
Christ. Okay.
A new Looney Tunes cartoon movie starring Porky Pig and Daffy Duck.
I was with everything you said.
I know.
Until that. And
I know.
I'm not even necessarily against it. I'm
a little against it.
I'm just deeply confused about the direction and the marketing and who thought that was a good idea.
I'm like, y'all are like 30 years late. What are y'all doing? Anyway.
I'm pretty sure Jamil, I think his name is Jamil.
Jaleel.
Jaleel?
Jaleel, okay. White, yes.
Has done some callbacks, at least, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some commercials, I want to say, at least. But I don't know if that's – I just don't know what we're trying to accomplish here. It's just a very confusing thing.
I am curious now. I've got to look this up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked up any if Jaleel White – okay, he is returning. He is returning. Okay. I was like, you know, if he's not going to return, this is a real son of a bitch.
I mean, I don't know what to do with it if he's not there.
No, he's there.
It's him or what was the cop's name? The guy that was in Die Hard 2?
Carl.
Die Hard as well. Carl. I mean, I know Carl, the actor's name.
I just call him Carl.
Yeah. Look, given your history with classic TV, I just kind of assumed you'd rattle off his name.
You know, I normally would know it. I don't know why I don't.
No, I
for some reason
challenging you.
Reginald Vell Johnson. God, I had to look it up, but
yeah,
I swear, like, give me 30. If you'd give it, if we had had this conversation 30 minutes later, I would have remembered his name immediately.
I have no doubt.
Like, me and Bethany,
this is a deep talent of yours.
Me and my wife, we talk, we mention Reginald Vell Johnson far too much. So, like, I would have definitely. I don't know why.
This guy is a part of our lives. But
he's a part of yours too. I don't think so.
Well, so that's my other question. Like, where's that guy?
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to check and see if he's dead. I don't think he is.
I have a fly hovering around my microphone too. So, like, I think there's a couple buzzing noises that I'm just not going to be able to cut out.
No, he's not dead. He's still around. He's much 69 like years old.
This fly is not.
He's still around. And, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, no, he was the cop in Ghostbusters.
Oh, I know.
If you'll recall.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, last bit of news here, mm-hmm. and we're wrapping. DC's Injustice movie, we have a release date, and it's soon, October 19th.
Is that, is animated?
Yeah, of course.
It's like, I know we've talked about this several times.
Somehow. So. We've been doing a show for 6 years.
No, I just wanted to make
sure. I missed a live action Injustice movie happening.
I just wanted to make sure that the ridiculous amount of injustice that I've seen recently wasn't somehow escaping me.
Mm. No, it is animated.
Like, you remember the Blue Ribbon shit for CW or something?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it before. Just Mm-hmm. Had a moment ruling that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which apparently the Deathstroke Blue Ribbon thing was fantastic. I don't know. I still haven't seen it. I keep meaning to go back and see it, but
the first half of that turned me off pretty hard.
Interesting. Well, I think that's it, man. I think I'm done. Are you done?
Yeah, it's caught.
All right. Well, we are DC Unscreen. You can find every episode for free on DCUnscreen.com. You can also find a link to our merch store. You can find our link to our Patreon over there. My name is David C. Robertson. You can follow me on Twitter at David C. Robertson. That is Jason Goss, the other man you've been listening to. You can find him on Twitter, and he'll talk to you at DuckDuckGoss, G-O-S-S. And he's a lot of fun on Twitter, too, when you catch him there. And I would like to say, if you know, you like, you know, Batman and Star Trek fan art, you can follow me on Instagram at Drawing with Dave. That's a thing I've been doing a lot of recently.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know. That's it. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.